Dismissed. Let's take our Bibles, the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 tells us that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have been dealing with the will of God for several months now, and I put together an outline in the back, so if you are wanting to go back and study all of those verses, I basically, as I mentioned, went through and looked at all the times in the New Testament the will of God was mentioned or God's will in some way and put together this outline. So you're welcome to use that any way that would be a good Bible study for you. And we gave you that opportunity last week as well. Last week, we began a study on the will of God as it concerns vocation. I mentioned to you last week that for the most part, this outline is not original with me. I took a counseling class when I was at school many years ago at Bob Jones University, and I studied a counseling class, and Dr. James Bellis, Brother Fletcher, did you have Dr. Bellis? You had all the hard classes. This counseling class was really something, and this counseling class was going over the will of God regarding counseling. And when you counsel, how to know God's will. And it's interesting because he gave some things here that are helpful. I knew that last week when I did this, that it was going to probably take me 2 weeks to do it. And so I didn't give the outline last week, so I gave you the outline to fill in the blank if you would like. Anyone not get one of those outlines? Brother Patrick, did everyone here get one of those? Okay, very good. And so this is the will of God as it concerns vocation. Now I'm going to quickly go through the first part of this that we went over last week, but I wanted to make sure that you had this full outline. Number one, God does have a will, and it didn't click there, Ken. God does have a will for every life. Romans 12, 1 and 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That assumes that God has a will for us. Number two, the prerequisites for knowing God's will. Well, we mentioned, capital A, a proper vertical relationship. In other words, we need to be right with the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the scripture tells us that we are to give God the preeminence in everything we do. And as we just sang tonight, we are to give of our best to our Master. And certainly, if we're going to know God's will, we need to have a proper vertical relationship. Number two, we need to have a proper horizontal relationship with others. So Matthew chapter 5, 23, if you go and you remember you have some, your brother has aught against you, go to your brother. And if you have someone that you are, you have a problem with, we're told in Matthew 18, you go to them. And it's an interesting thing that we see that to have a right relationship with others, sometimes, you know, the ideal situation, if there's conflict between two people, that both are going to meet halfway. Now, sometimes that doesn't always happen, but we need to have a right horizontal relationship. Capital C, we need to have a desire to know God's will, a desire to know God's will. Now, we know that there is a sense in which some people just don't want to know what God's will is because they could care less. Well, if we know Christ is our Savior, we ought to want to know. So how do we understand this desire? And this is something that I included in these notes here because I have found this true. Number one, desiring to know God's will, we need to seek God's will. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that that he that cometh to God must, how does it say it? What is it? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right? Have you get up here and start quoting this, okay? So, this is the scripture, though. It tells us we should diligently seek him. And seek and you will find, Jesus said in the prayer in Matthew chapter 7. We need, number two, pray to know God's will. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God does not in any way hold back. He giveth liberally, it tells us in James chapter 1. And so we should pray. I think it was George Mueller that said, you know, at some point in seeking God's will, you just need to ask him outright, Lord, what is your will for me? And to truly, diligently seek him. And to pray that you can know. Number three, to accept God's will. And Matthew 26, verse 42 talks about how Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, said as 100% man, 100% God, but he said to the Father, not my will, but thine will be done. And sometimes the problems that we face, we don't want to face them, but we have to sometimes accept what God brings. Number four, we need to be willing to do God's will. And John 7:17 says, if any would do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or not. So this is what we went over last week. Number two, or number three here in our notes, I just want to address this idea of how do we go about finding his will. There's methods used by God in making known his divine will. So how did I know? So here I am trying to decide whether I should move to a certain place or whether I should take this particular job or maybe to go in a certain direction. Well, one thing we definitely want is number one, or capital A here, we must understand that God uses Scripture. And we ought not do anything that would be contradictory to the Word of God. You know, so here I am taking a job, and let's say I'm working for an employer, or I'm seeking to work for an employer, and I find out he's going to ask me to cheat. Well, I know it's not God's will for me to cheat. So many times the Scripture will prohibit what I'm going to do. Now, it tells us all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration of God. I put it out on the sign because we're going to look at this a little bit more on Sunday morning, that all what God speaks is God-breathed. That's what that word inspiration means. It's given by the breath of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And yes, we could even add, and it's good for knowing God's will. And we need to go into the Word of God and we need to study it to show ourselves approved. And someone says, well, you know, I don't know the Scriptures that well. Well, I would think that you would want to know the Scriptures if you're truly, genuinely seeking God's will. So do not allow anything that's contradictory to the Word of God be something that you fall into. And whether it be, let's say you say, I'm going to move to such and such a place. All right, well, is there a good church there? Have you considered the fact that God wants you to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together? Well, the scripture, if there is a good church, that could be an indication that's where you should meet. But if there's not a church to go to, then obviously, if you have a say-so in the matter, you should not go there. You say, but I'll make a lot of money. But we do not want to fall into the trap of Lot, do we? Because Lot, he did very well politically, and it was a wonderful place, as I heard someone quote, it's a wonderful place to raise cattle, but it was a terrible place to raise children. So we want to be very, very careful that we are doing God's will through the scripture. And secondly, I want to talk about experiences in life. One of the ways that God uses or works to help us to know what he would have us to do is to bring experience in life. The old Puritans used to call this providence. And providence is something that, you know, God is working in the affairs of life. And God certainly does allow certain circumstances to come our way. There's nothing by accident. We know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to the accident of God. No, for the purpose of God. And God does want us to know his holy purposes. And sometimes those things, you know, we wonder, you know, who to marry or what job to take or what school to go to or what kind of situation we should be in. Well, sometimes God uses these experiences in life. Now, let me break this down a little bit. Number one, phenomenal or extraordinary or extraordinary experiences. Now, I was sitting there trying to think, you know, do I know of any situation where God just supernaturally did something to make his will known to me? And the only thing I could come close to that was the fact when I was 15 years of age, and I came so close to dying, and I almost went to hell. And God used that to really speak to my heart that, you know, I'm going to die one day. And it's been really one of those things that happened in my life that I was able to use to be able to speak to young people and help them to see the urgency that they are going to die. And we are going to die. And so there's that. I was also reading Dr. Ed Nelson's book. Ed Nelson just passed away. I think he was like 98 years of age. And it's interesting. I was reading an autobiography of him, and he was talking about how God led him to go into the ministry. Well, he was in a farming accident, and he almost died. And through that circumstance, God really opened his eyes about being saved and then following the Lord. So, you know, we see in the Bible there are these circumstances where Moses saw the burning bush or Paul on the road to Damascus. And we need to always be careful about that, right? You've heard the old story about the guy who was farming and he looked up in the sky and some plane up there did the letters GP. And he said, well, that's God's will for me to go preach. And so he thought, well, I'll go and be a preacher. Well, he did a terrible job at it, and it was the worst thing he ever did. And someone said to him, you know, why are you preaching? And he said, well, because I looked up in the sky and I saw GP, go preach. He said, no, that meant go plow. See, sometimes we can mistake supernatural or providential circumstances. But the point is, we can find that in our lives that sometimes God will use circumstances in our lives to direct us to a particular place or to do a particular thing. But probably more than likely how he operates is through routine, day-to-day experiences. And God will sometimes just make things clear to us. You know, let me give you some examples. Number one, circumstances. Circumstances. You know, the fact that you know, I just found myself sitting at a table when I was in college, and right across was this girl named Ann Zimp. And where are you from? Well, I'm from Michigan. And I said, well, so am I. And so I thought, I got to get to know her better. And so several years later, we got married, just like that. You know, so, but, you know, the circumstances, you know, I often tell people I got, you know, I got married to a person through a dating, computer dating service. Because what they did is they would line you up to sit at certain tables. Now, the fact is, those were circumstances. Now, there's some of those girls that I sat with I didn't marry. So, but there is a sense that circumstances, you know, just so happens that I met so-and-so. Or this person just brought up this situation. And God can lead us in circumstance. He can lead us through sermons we hear. Now, we know that God uses the foolishness of preaching to save people. But I also know that God uses preaching to sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and just speak to my heart. And all of a sudden it becomes very obvious. Wow, the Lord spoke to me. Have you ever had, you know, I've had sometimes a person comes after the service and after I preach this incredible message. And they said, man, God really spoke to me. I said, that's great. And they say, you know, when you said, ba-da-da-da-da, that really spoke to my heart. And I thought, I didn't say that. And it wasn't the fact that always my words, but the Holy Spirit used maybe a scripture or something. You know how it is. You know, you're reading your Bible, the preacher's preaching, and your mind, your eyes skips over to there, or maybe something you've already studied. God can use sermons we hear. Number three, books we read. I'd encourage you to read good books and to find maybe sometimes some good autobiographies or biographies of Christians and how God used them. You know, I think every woman ought to read the story of Susanna Wesley. And an incredible lady who was able to raise up many children, including John and Charles Wesley. And sometimes we read these things and we see and God leads us through these routine situations. Or conversations we have. Sometimes a person might say something, as I mentioned earlier, that could really just cause me to be reminded that I ought to maybe do this. You know, so this individual that I'm talking to brings up something that really just kind of, wow, I've not thought of that before. And God can use that to direct us. And, you know, here maybe God is leading you to go to a certain location to take a certain job, and it just so happens that somebody that you run into, they worked at that job. Or they know something about that location. And God can use these circumstances. We also know that He opens doors and opportunities. So you say, okay, I think God wants me to be a missionary. Okay, that's wonderful. And maybe the doors of opportunity open and you decide, you know, well, maybe God would have me to go and do a certain thing. And so you start going through the process of doing whatever is necessary or maybe to make that move or to take that, go to that school or whatever it might be. And God begins to work in that. And everything just kind of falls in place. And the doors just keep opening. Or sometimes closed doors. You know, sometimes you decide, you know, I'm going to go do this. And time after time after time, circumstances just shut that down. So I know this is very nebulous, but my point is this, that there is a sense that God will use providence, and He'll bring certain people your way or circumstances your way to show you His will. Thirdly, God uses godly counsel. God uses godly counsel. And I'm not saying one is more important than the other. Certainly Scripture is important. But we do know that God tells us to go to the saints. I was listening to Carl Herbster. He was counseling somebody. They're not here tonight. But he was counseling someone and they were asking, how can I know what God's will is? And he said, well, three S's. The first S is Scripture. The second S are saints. That was his saying. You know, you heard him preach. He always alliterates all this stuff. And the third S, I'll tell you in a minute. But it's interesting that God does use the saints. Now, doesn't it tell us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 14, we have, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, I think it's a mistake to, you know, say, I'm going to go talk to somebody who I know is going to tell me what I want to hear. I think that's a mistake. But at the same time, you want to find someone who is godly and they're not going to in any way be prejudiced in their opinion. So you want to go to them. I know sometimes someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm thinking about moving out of the area and doing so-and-so. And sometimes I'm not too sure if I'm a very good objective counselor, because what I want to say is, no, you need to stay here. But something I've often told people is this: we don't need any Jonahs in our church. If God has called you to Nineveh, don't go to Joppa. You don't want to be where you shouldn't be. So I try to be objective in that. But the fact is, you want somebody who is going to go to the Scripture and knows the Scripture, who's going to give you good advice. We're told in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And I like this one. It's Proverbs 24, verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Now, that's a good thing. Before you get into a fight, before you start making a big ruckus about something, you know, it tells us here that wise counsel is important before you do that. Why? Because in the multitude of counselors, we saw that already, there is what? Safety. All right. So how can I know God's will? How can I know what I should do? Well, go to someone you trust spiritually who can give you good, godly advice. Don't ignore the saints. Now, I told you I'd give you the next S that Carl Herbster gave, and that is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leading. Now, I don't think we should in our day and age totally ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will certainly never do anything contrary to His Word. We know that because the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word. Holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict the Word. But sometimes, if you ever just, I was mentioning, you know, you're sitting there, you're listening to a sermon, somebody says something, and the Holy Spirit, it becomes very obvious, this is what I need to do. Now, we know biblically this happened in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And I've often looked at those verses and I thought, you know, how did the Holy Spirit come to him? Probably just spoke to him in his own spirit. And in the book of Acts 16, we won't read all of that, but it talks about when Paul was going on his missionary journey, they wanted to go one direction, but the Holy Spirit led them into another direction. So we do have to understand that the Spirit of God leads us. That those who are that know God are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 tells us. So we want to listen to what the Spirit of God says. And then finally, common sense. You know, we ought to certainly think through. You know, God does not ignore our brains. And, you know, someone says, well, I feel like God's called me to the mission field, but I'm $150,000 in debt. Well, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to go out and try to raise missionary support when you still have $150,000 in debt. So, you know, sometimes you think, well, that wouldn't make sense to do that. Now, we got to be careful there, right? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so sometimes what doesn't seem to make sense, God can work a miraculous thing. Now, I think it'd be better to say, okay, I think God's called me to the mission field. I owe $150,000. And somebody writes me a letter and says, I want to pay off your debt. Oh, okay. I would say that would be a supernatural situation where God has made that very clear. So the will of God as it concerns vocation. And I hope that this can be a help to you and that the Lord can use that as you seek His will. And we'll continue this next week as well regarding the will of God concerning vocation. Well, if you will take your prayer sheet, we are going to pray together. And I want to draw your attention to the